when we look at Father's Day, today I want to talk about the Father's standard of love. And in the Father's standard of love, it's amazing the songs we sang today, how much they tied into what we're doing. He will never fail us, and how He loves us. And all these powerful songs about the Father's love and His commitment to us. To have any other standard of love for us is for us to fall short of the love that He has shown us. And I know that people coming in today have come from different backgrounds. Your fathers may not have been present. Your fathers may not have been alive when you were born. Your fathers may have passed away since then. Your fathers may not have been great. Maybe you're not a great father. And guys, I'm just being honest and real. If we can't do that in the house of God, where can we do it, right? And it may be that your fathers fell short. Or maybe you say, I'm feeling falling short of being a good father. The day today isn't for you to feel guilty of that. We want you to be free of that. We want you to know the Father's love for you. And He'll share and say, because I've loved you, now I've given you the power to love in that same manner and in that same way. I want you to think of this today as we think different memories that may be tough. But I want you to resolve today that maybe there's something going on internally inside. Resolve a memory in your heart today that helps you to heal. And right now it's causing a problem with you and maybe causing your heart to be a little hardened. And it may be years and years in the making or years and years in the past. But resolve today to release that. Because that inner problem is affecting the outer man. And the outer man is what people see. And that's our witness that we carry around. We can't have these secrets inside and say, no, that's my witness. I can't see that. The outer man, that's our actions and our words. And that's our witness. That's our testimony. That tells people what we're doing and where we are in our relationship to Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 10, we're going to be in verse 27 and 29. Turn to John chapter 10, verse 27 and 29. Falls Creek meant something. I see a bunch of teens with Bibles out and phone apps. And wait, are those Bible apps? Okay, yeah, they're not buying clothes online. They got the Bible apps open. And how powerful that is. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll make it quick for you, okay? John chapter 10, verse 27 and 29. And I want you to listen carefully to this. And it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Man, that sounds like a safe, protecting father. Amen? That's a father that loves us so much. He says, hey, they know my voice. They're going to follow me. I'm telling you what, that little baby's going out the back door, but that baby knows the sound of her father. Because I can do that. She'll give me one look and look away. Peter does that. That baby's on him. That baby knows the sound of her father's voice. It's the same thing when we hear the sound of our father's voice. And it says, they know my voice and they follow me. But listen to this. But because I love them so much, what gift have I given them? Eternal life. What does that mean? They shall never perish. Look at your neighbor and say, never. Oh, good Lord. Look at your neighbor and holler, never.
Never.
There we go. Oh, whew. We want to make sure they know. You will never perish. When you follow the sound of your father's voice. But he says also this, and this is important. Neither will anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's a father that loves you so much, he's going to protect you. And we can say all day long, I will protect you. By chance, I happened to be watching Finding Nemo yesterday for a few minutes. And he said, I'll never let anything happen to you. And little Dory, Kooky Dory, said, well, that's a weird thing to promise. Well, you can't promise that nothing will ever happen or nothing will ever happen. We can make promises to protect our children, but we can't live up to those promises we make. We can say, hey, I'll do all I can to protect you. That's one thing. but we're not with him 24 hours a day. But he says, I will not let anyone snatch you out of my hand. And that is a promise that he can make and he can keep. We have to know that. We have to know that we are in his safe and secure and protecting arms. And he's got us. We're going to be reading several quick verses. If you want, you can turn with me. If you want, just write them down. But know these and listen to them when we go there. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And it's the last book in the Old Testament. So if you get to Matthew, go back a few pages till you see Malachi. Not Zechariah. Not Zephaniah. Not Nahum. Not Micah. Malachi. Right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. And I want you to listen to this promise as well that he makes, or that he states. And it says, "And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened, and the Lord heard them." So we know the sound of his voice, but he knows the sound of ours. It says, "And the Lord heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." But listen to verse 17. Verse 17 says, "They shall be mine." He says, "You are my children. I've called you mine, and you're it. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." And it says, "Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him." So now he's taking a book and he said, "You have said you're mine and belong to me. And now I'm claiming you as mine. And guess what? I've got a book. I'm going to put your name in there. And I'm going to remember it. Because you're mine." And I love that he says, "You're mine. And I'm going to write your name in this book. By the way, because I love you, I'm going to protect you. No one's going to snatch you out of my hand." Now flip back more in the Old Testament to Isaiah chapter 49. And then we're moving to the New Testament after that. But Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. And this is really what I love. And I don't know how you feel about tattoos, and I don't want to get into that. And it's none of my business necessarily. And again, that's not a debate I want to get into here. But it says in verse 16, "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand." He said, "I have tattooed, if you will, your name on the palm of my hand. And it's not going away." So now he's got a book that he has inscribed our name in. Now he's taking the palms of his hand. And by the way, he's got the whole world in his hand. So you can imagine how big his hands are, right? Okay, he's written all our names in there that have accepted him and called on him. "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand." I've got you. And you're in my hands, and your name isn't going away. He says, "You're mine. I love you so much, I've inscribed your name on the palms of my hand." People will often do that for loved ones that have passed away, and they'll inscribe their name or their birth date or their death date or whatever. You know, I've mentioned before that I'll tell stories about my father as long as I live. Okay, when that's over, then what? Spencer may know a tale or two. Spencer's never met him. None of my family's ever met my father. He died 32 years ago last week. 2 weeks ago today, as a matter of fact. 32 years and 2 weeks. But nobody in my family's met him. But I'll tell stories about him. And I've told a story before Austin one time when he was a little kid, laying in bed crying. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I miss Grandpa Jack." I said, "You've never met him." He said, "I know, but I miss him. I love your stories." I thought, oh, okay. The point being, when we're gone, our stories will end about our fathers. They may live on for a generation or two. Don't harass them about that. Okay? That may go on for a generation or two. But then those stories will fade out. But not this father. This father's story is so important. We have got to continue generation after generation. Why is it so important for our young people to be here? Because they're going to be the ones to tell the next generation about our father. Why are the younger kids down there with Corey? Because he's teaching them about the Father so that they can grow up and remember that as well. Now turn to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, really I wrote down a verse. And then I wrote down another and another and another, and then I thought, okay, I'll just kind of dabble around Ephesians 2. But the verse I wanted to read is verse 4. And it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love..." Uh-oh, that means because of. That means something's going to happen or something happened. And because of it, it says, "Because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ by the grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." That is a mouthful. But it says because of His love for us. For His love for us. Kisha, I think you mentioned, you know, even though we're dead in our trespasses, even though we're doing these actions, He still loves us. Oh, how He loves us. But if you look at chapter 2, it goes on and on and on. And in the beginning it says, "You were made alive who were dead in trespasses, in which you once walked," past tense. But remember, if we still have those internal things we're hanging on to, even young people, we may have some internal things we're hanging on to that affects the outer man. Those trespasses that we were dead in, He said, "I've come so you don't have to live in those anymore. And you can have freedom from it. You can have forgiveness from them." That's why I thought, when you come today, I don't want anyone leaving with any kind of guilt. No guilt. We come today with the Father's love, and we know that, and we realize that. And trust me, over all the years I've been around, people say, "I don't feel worthy." Trust me, He says, "You are not worthy on your own, but through me you are worthy. I have made you worthy through the cross and the blood that was shed. And through that you are worthy of His love and His acceptance and repentance and forgiveness. He's done that for you." And I love it. It says, "According to the prince of the power of the air." The prince of the power. And He goes on to say in verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves." Remember, church, we can't ever say that we've arrived. We're not there yet. We may be close. We may be closer. But we've got to be careful to never think we've arrived. On this side of the earth. On this side of heaven. Now turn, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John. Towards the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 11. And this is really about the Father's love and the Father's standard of love. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another." Oh, thank you, Father. I've got to be reminded, I've got to love the people I don't like. I don't like their haircut. They're too tall. They're too short. "Let us love one another." Look around this place. Look at the differences between us. Man, let us love one another, church. everybody in here. Oh, and by the way, one another, that's everybody outside these doors. That's our friends across the street that are Buddhist. We think, oh, but they don't line up with my theological thinking. And neither does someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Let us love one another. That's just the beginning. Why? For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Let's stop there for a minute. He took His only Son and He sent Him into the world. And He did that for us. It gets better. Verse 10, in this is love. In that act of sending His Son is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Whew. Google that one. Okay, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, before we finish that thought, now let's go to John. One of the most famous verses in the Bible. Where am I going? John 3:16. John 3:16. The Father's standard of love is right here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But listen to this, because I want to take it a step further. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now it's funny, in one of these, when you go a little before and after, Jesus came into a group, and the people are gathered around, they said, why don't you just tell us plainly if you are the Christ? And Jesus simply responds back and says, hey, I did tell you, but you didn't believe me. Think today where Jesus is speaking to you and you're saying, God, just give me a sign. And He says, I did, and you didn't believe me. You didn't follow me. You didn't obey me. But the standard of love is our Father in heaven. Because He loved us so much that He sent His Son. And not just that He sent Him so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. But He loved us so much that He also sent Him to the cross. And His Son loved us so much that He willingly went, saying, I know I have to go there. If there's any way this cup can pass, let it. However, not my will, but the Father's will be done. As our band comes up, we're going to close out with Good, Good Father. Why? Because He is a good, good Father. And I want us to think about these things. Our Father loved us, and He created us. He gave us life when we deserved what? I'll say it, death. Look at your neighbor and say, death. All right. He gave us life when we deserved death. And He protected us. And remember, He said, I've put your name in the palm of my hand. I have inscribed it there. I have tattooed that in my hand. By the way, I've got a book. And I have written your name in it. It's like him saying, hey, I've got bookmarks for those that went to Falls Creek, and I wrote your name on it. He said, I will remember you. And that's the standard of the Father's love, that He came down for us. He created us in our own, in His image, not in our own image. By the way, you guys, He planned you guys long ago. Not just 14 and 15 and 20 years ago. How long ago He had you guys planned. And every one of you, He planned. He said, this is the way I want you to be. As far as this is the way I'm bringing you into this world. Now what He also said is, I'm going to give you that free will. And I'm going to let you dabble around yourself and stumble and fumble. But He said, I don't want you to stay there. And today, if you're stuck in that I'm staying there thing, and it's time to break free, that Father, He can let you out of that. He died for your freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from, I would say, pain and suffering. What I mean is the pain and suffering of doing that alone. He may still take you down a path, and you may think, why are you taking me down this path? And He says, I've got a plan for you. But again, it's my plan. And I know it, and it's perfect. And I'm hoping that you will draw to me as you go through it. Today after service, maybe you need to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ for the first time like Isaiah did at the Midwest City Church. What an amazing, life-changing opportunity He took to have that boldness. Maybe you need to let something loose. I gave you the challenge to let something loose inside that is affecting the outer man. And you can do it while we sing. You can come up here and just meet me and I'll pray for you. You can do it after service. You can do it on your own. That's the beauty about Jesus Christ. You can do it on your own, meaning you and Him, not you alone. You and Him. But if you want someone to talk to, see me as we sing or see me after service and let me know. Right after service, if you're visiting with us today, maybe you've come with one of these beautiful young people today. I'd like to just say hello to you real quick right up here as well. Just take a moment to say hello. Grab a donut on your way out and we'll let you go. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week.